From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Even in the face of stormy weather, voters across Illinois had their say in a host of municipal elections yesterday, from mayoral races to seats on city councils. We're beginning today's show by zooming in on what happened in four Illinois cities: Chicago, Carbondale, Springfield, and Champaign. In Carbondale, Carolyn Harvey won with a wide margin over Harold Visser to become the first elected black mayor in the city. In Champaign, incumbent mayor Deborah Finan easily secured a third term by fending off challenges from Azar Cobbs and former mayor Don Girard. Meanwhile, in a closely fought race in Springfield, city treasurer Misty Buescher defeated incumbent mayor Jim Langfelder by fewer than 1,000 votes. And in Chicago, Paul Vallas saw what was once a strong lead in polls shrink into an electoral defeat as progressive county board commissioner Brandon Johnson won one of the most important jobs in Democratic politics.
You know, they said this would never happen. So, you know, if they didn't know, now they know.
To help us talk about the results, we've got reporters from across the state with us. Jamie Nesbitt Golden reports for the news site Block Club Chicago, where she covers the city's Bronzeville neighborhood. Jennifer Fuller is Associate Director for News and Public Affairs at WSIU Public Radio in Carbondale. Jim Meadows is Senior Reporter for Illinois Public Media in Urbana, our home station. And Stephen Speary is a reporter at the State Journal Register newspaper in Springfield. Welcome back to all of you. And listeners, as always, we'd love to hear from you at 800-222-9455. How closely were you following the results of the elections where you are? How did you vote? And what do you think about the outcomes in your city? Give us a call. Let us know. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Well, a lot of ground to cover today. Jamie Nesbitt Golden, I'm going to begin with you in Chicago. There was national attention on the mayoral runoff there. There are a lot of stories that are going to be written about the significance of Johnson's victory. What do you see as the most significant thing about his win?
Well, I see that regardless of how outside forces attempt to sort of spin this as a referendum on public safety and crime, that, you know, the people spoke, the people, you know, took their power to the polls and they let their voices be heard. And this is the result of that. Vallas outspent Johnson 2-1, on the ad shares. He had heavy hitters coming out for him. He had progressives, respected progressives, black progressives coming out for him as well, in the final days. And that, did not have an impact, apparently. I think Johnson, I think even a Vallas aide pointed out that Johnson's ground game in the last few days was nothing short of remarkable. And that's what happened. He you know, managed to really bring together the city. And, you know, yeah, last night is a result of that hard work.
Do you think Johnson won more or Vallas lost, or how do you see that?
Well, I think that Johnson won more. I think given, you know, Chicago's hesitancy to sort of, you know, like we grapple with our progressive identity a lot. And I think, you know, having the last 4 years of Lightfoot, who also called herself a progressive, we saw that, you know, her administration didn't really adhere to those tenets. So now we have a candidate who is expressly, you know, sort of, you know, he's embracing his progressive roots and he's, you know, putting, you know, education as the center of his platform. And these things resonate with voters, particularly black ones who, you know, have seen the closures of 50 schools over the last decade. So again, it's a rejection of, you know, this sort of law and order, you know, tactic that Vallas was trying to advance, and more of an embracing of progressive politics in the city.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned Lightfoot sort of wrapped herself in that progressive cloak, but a former U.S. attorney versus a former Chicago Teachers Union organizer. We'll see which one actually follows through with that more in office. Jim Meadows, I want to bring you into the conversation now. In Champaign, This race wasn't even close. Deb Finan won with about 3/4 of the vote against 2 challengers. Were you surprised by that? Was this expected?
I was really not that surprised because I don't think the other 2 candidates were running a very active or vigorous race. Don Girard, the former mayor who came in a distant second in the race, had said during an election forum on our station here at WILL that he basically ran because he thought nobody else was running against the mayor and he thought somebody should. Of course, there is also a third candidate, Azark David Cobbs, who was also running, but Girard did not know about that at the time. Neither of those 2 candidates really were very visible as candidates. If you go by the measurement of, say, yard signs, which seem to be the main form of campaigning in Champaign, then Mayor Finan dominated.
You know, that expression, yard signs don't vote, but maybe in this election they actually did. Stephen Speary in Springfield, voters already reelected Mayor Jim Langfelder once 4 years ago, but not this time. What do you understand is behind their decision to switch to Misty Buescher?
Well, you're correct. And like his father, Ozzie Langfelder, Jim Langfelder did not get a third term. I think with politics in Springfield, it's all local. Misty Buescher ran on a platform of crime and infrastructure, and she was well-funded by Illinois realtors and by the unions. And I think the voters gravitated towards her in a close race.
And Jen Fuller, I want to bring you into the conversation now in Carbondale. What is the main storyline about Councilwoman Harvey's victory there?
Well, Brian, it was kind of a question mark going in where voters weren't quite sure what to expect, whether it would be a close race between Carolyn Harvey and Harold Visser, the challenger in that race, in some extent. Of course, Carolyn Harvey was the mayor pro tem of Carbondale after the previous mayor, Mike Henry, stepped aside after the death of his wife. She's been serving in that role for, almost a year now. And what could have been a close race was not in any way, shape, or form. Carolyn Harvey garnered 1,622 votes to Harold Visser's 366 votes. So, you know, it's a year where Carbondale can, in its municipal elections, lean in different directions. This year, it definitely leaned progressive, with Carolyn Harvey becoming the first Black woman to be the mayor of the city of Carbondale, and also one of the candidates in the city council race, Claire Kilman. According to the endorsing organizations that she is the first transgender person to be elected to a city council in the state of Illinois. So it's a big year for Carbondale.
Interesting. So Councilwoman Harvey was already serving as mayor pro tem. That's why I don't know if that technically makes her an incumbent or not. I understand the previous mayor there, as we've discussed on the show, his wife, I believe, died last year, and he basically took a leave of absence from that. The reason I'm asking this is she's already been serving in the job. Do you have a taste, Jen, of what to expect from her administration?
She's a very thoughtful leader. She's very careful and considers all options. She wants to hear from the people whom she serves about the issues that are important to them and the decisions that need to be made. She is the type of leader that wants to hear not just from the constituents, but from the others on the city council and work together. But she also wants to be a voice for those who don't always have a voice. And so a lot of people are very excited to see some of the things that she may bring in. The campaign that she ran was not one of, I need to make all of these changes within the city of Carbondale, so much as I want to hear your voice and I want to give you a voice. So it should be very interesting to hear kind of what happens next in this next, say, 6 months to a year. Now, her seat will now be an unexpired vacant seat on the council. So although there were 3 winners in last night's election for Carbondale City Council, there will be a 4th seat that has to be filled. And so there's still some question over how that will be filled in the coming days and weeks.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're taking a survey of the outcomes of some of the municipal elections that culminated yesterday across Illinois, from Chicago to Carbondale and Springfield in Champaign. Jamie Nesbitt-Golden with Block Club Chicago. There are a lot of people that soon to be Mayor Brandon Johnson, or Mayor-elect, I guess is the term, Brandon Johnson, is going to have to work with. It can be a very challenging job, the being the mayor of Chicago. What is he hoping to accomplish at the beginning of his term?
Well, I think one of his main concerns, of course, is education and making sure that CPS, public schools here, are fully funded, all of them. I know housing has been a large concern for a lot of residents who feel like they're being pushed out. So I think affordable housing is going to be another thing he sort of focuses on. And also, you know, there are several huge mega developments already, you know, in progress or planned for various parts of the city. So we're going to see a lot of sort of push and pull there between, you know, residents who, again, want to remain in the neighborhood or in the area, and developers who, you know, want to sort of make a lot of money, also create housing that wouldn't be affordable for a lot of folks. So he's going to have to sort of draw a fine line there, or sort of toe a fine line there in terms of, you know, keeping development robust, but also making sure that residents get to stay where they want to stay. I think the biggest battle might be with the police union.
I wondered if you were going to get to that, because, of course, they endorsed Paul Vallis. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw Vallis sort of, pretty much, you know, get the blessing of the police union during the election. And Johnson was sort of forced to walk back his defunding comment. And that did, you know, rankle a few folks. But I do see him having to sort of learn how to compromise with the union. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, residents want police. They want public safety has been top of mind for a lot of us, and particularly Black residents who feel like they've been left out. So he's going to have to figure out how to address those issues, but in a way that doesn't further endanger, you know, residents here.
That is the conundrum, right, Jamie? Because I think this is maybe not as well appreciated in the sort of superficial vision of police versus defund the police, is that mm-hmm. there are often a lot of, you know, the communities in Chicago that want the best policing for themselves are yes. some of the ones that also suffer a lot of the inequities of our current system of policing. And that's a conundrum.
Indeed it is. And, you know, when you talked, again, when I've covered a lot of these aldermanic forums, and you talk to residents on the South Side in particular, they want cops. They want to be protected. They want to have, you know, community policing. They're big fans of community policing. They want officers that also look like them. And given, you know, that there are issues with that, and representation doesn't necessarily translate to safety, all that aside, you know, you're going to have to figure out a way, again, to sort of handle these needs in a way that, you know, with nuance and care, I suppose.
Stephen Speary, I know we need to let you go when we take a break in a couple of minutes here, but what sort of changes are you expecting to see out of the Buescher administration as she becomes the mayor in Springfield?
Well, one of the things she suggested at her victory celebration last night was that she would be willing to work in with people across the aisle, with Democrats and Republicans together, to move Springfield forward. What's really interesting is to see where she lands with a couple of bigger projects coming up in Springfield, the Wyndham Hotel that's on the agenda at tonight's City Council meeting. She has spoken a little hesitantly about the owner seeking funding for the betterment of that hotel and the Shields Sports Project. So it will be interesting to see where she lands with a couple of these bigger projects, not exactly in line with Mayor Langfelder, but we'll see if she's true to her word about moving Springfield forward.
All right. Stephen Speary, we're going to let you go at this time, reporter with the State Journal Register. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
And we are going to continue. We need to take a break. We're going to continue with Jamie Nesbitt Golden of Block Club Chicago, Jim Meadows with WILL, Illinois Public Media, our home station in Champaign, Urbana, and Jen Fuller, Associate Director for News and Public Affairs at WSIU, the NPR and PBS station in Carbondale. We are talking about the mayoral elections that took place across Illinois yesterday. Some upsets, some surprising outcomes, some not so surprising outcomes. We'll continue breaking those down when we come back after a short break. Then we're going to take a deep dive into a trial that's been happening in Chicago for several weeks now. Officials and lobbyists with the electric utility ComEd are on trial for corruption. That case is shining a light on the way Illinois government really works. That's all coming up after the break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the outcomes of the mayoral elections yesterday across Illinois, also city council, city treasurer, other positions like that, city clerk. We are focusing on the races in three cities with the time and reporters we have with us left. Jen Fuller is with WSIU in Carbondale, Jim Meadows with WILL, Illinois Public Media in Urbana, and Jamie Nesbitt Golden is a reporter with Block Club Chicago. She particularly covers the Bronzeville and other South Side neighborhoods there. And I want to talk about turnout. Jamie, we saw in Chicago, I saw a chart last night that showed a big jump in turnout from the primary election back in February and the runoff election in April. A big jump among people from age 25 through about 44. So I guess that's Gen Z, millennials. What is the story there?
I think, you know, honestly, during the general election, there were so many candidates to choose from. And a lot of these folks weren't really clear with regards to their platform. So I think, you know, younger voters kind of sat that one out. And now that, you know, there were two very clear choices, very distinct choices in front of them, they, you know, were drawn to the candidate whose platforms they admired the most. And I think that's what happened yesterday. You hear a lot of things about Gen Zers or millennials not voting or not being engaged. And we, every election, we see evidence to the contrary regarding this. So it's not surprising that, you know, in the runoffs, the kids were like, okay, well, you know, here's a guy who clearly, you know, has, you know, a platform that aligns with mine. We're going to go for that one. And we saw that yesterday. So honestly, the kids saved the city, some would say.
If you favor that progressive outcome, certainly.
Exactly, yeah.
Jim Meadows, so we were just talking about sort of voter engagement, voter turnout. What about candidate engagement? I know you've looked at that there in the Champaign-Urbana newspaper, the News Gazette had a story recently that there were dozens of races in the area with no candidates running. What is your understanding of what's behind that?
Well, one thing that comes to mind when I hear about that is that's just a shade above typical in local elections. I mean, the Illinois consolidated elections bring together a lot of local races that don't necessarily get a lot of attention unless you're in Chicago, where politics is a big spectator sport. So it's very common for candidates to run unopposed in a lot of local races. For instance, Julie Moore Wolf was reelected mayor of Decatur yesterday with no opposition. And that was the case for a lot of races and a lot of smaller towns throughout the region.
Yeah, I know my own ballot had a number of races with either fewer than the number of candidates you were supposed to, you know, it was one of those pick three, but there were only two people listed, or just one name, where normally it would be at least a two-way race. Jen Fuller, what's the story of that similar picture in the Carbondale area?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we cover quite a few counties here at WSIU, and as Jim said, dozens of races where there was no candidate or there were fewer candidates than voters needed to select. So there will be some work that has to be done over the next couple of weeks. Now, some of those races, of course, had write-in candidates, so that can be analyzed, and if the candidates are viable, then perhaps those people will serve in those positions. There were two races, though, two communities in our listening area, one in Franklin County and one, I believe, in Williamson County. Forgive me, I'm looking through my notes here. Yeah, where these were both villages in Franklin County, the village of Macedonia, and in Williamson County, the village of Stoneford. No candidates for village president, no candidates for village clerk in Macedonia, and no candidates for village trustee. So you have to wonder about the leadership in those communities and whether there will be this churn in terms of getting things done, the day-to-day business of those communities. We've seen some communities in our region over the last several years actually decide that they were going to disband and become unincorporated areas within a county. So the county services would provide a lot of the police protection, fire protection, those sorts of things. So with so many units of local government across the state of Illinois, that question comes up after elections like this, where you see a lack of engagement from candidates.
Yeah, although, you know, one wonders if Illinois is notorious for having the most units of local government, or per capita at least, in the country. So maybe that's not an entirely a terrible thing if some of these units are merging into bigger entities that can better handle the outcomes. All right, this is something we will continue to watch. I want to thank all of you for being with us today. Jamie Nesbitt Golden with Block Club Chicago, Jim Meadows with Illinois Public Media, and Jen Fuller with WSIU in Carbondale. Thank you all so much for being with us to recap the election results. Listeners, I want to mention, we'd love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about, whether it's today's show or something we've talked about in the past. Let us know. You can always leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. We'll be sharing some of your responses on air from time to time. You can also find that number and our email address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. More to come in just a moment.